You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 22nd of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're browsing through the UBS Global Real Estate Bubble Index for housing markets of selected world cities. We'll discover how, when inexpensive financing is combined with bullish expectations, property prices can uncouple from the real economy. We'll hear from cities that show all the signs of a bubble formed or forming, and we'll compare the structural and cyclical pressures in those markets with others that maintain depressed or stable prices. We start with Matthias Holzheim, head of Swiss real estate investment at UBS Wealth Management in Zurich. He provides some background to the report and explains why this area of analysis is so important.
Loose monetary policy has prevented a normalization of housing markets and encouraged local bubble risk to grow in the past 10 years. Through quantitative easing, central banks have more than tripled the global monetary base in 2008, and this cash injection has lowered real interest rates and slowed the global housing market correction that began in 2007. So we've seen that the average price decline starting in 2007 amounted only to 30% in real terms. However, the preceding price increase has been about 130% in the mid-1990s. The correction was milder than in previous cycles, setting the stage for today's overheating housing market.
Now, the index isn't all about predicting the burst of any bubble, so why is it so important to identify the early signs? Is it perhaps most helpful as a tool in general strategic planning? Caroline Simmons is a strategist for CIO UBS Wealth Management.
It's sort of an awareness index, I guess. It's a bubble risk index. It traces the fundamental valuation of housing markets, the valuation of the city, i.e. London, relative to the UK, as well as the importance of construction and mortgage lending to GDP. And tracking those against themselves versus history, it gives you an idea of where London stands versus where it has stood previously. And then you can rank or sort of, you know, put it on an index. And what we've seen historically is when the index is over 1.5, we've categorized this as something called bubble risk. Now, the UK is currently scoring 1.8 on that. Historically, and it's a statistical number, but when things have scored over 1.5, there has been a 95% probability that within 3 years, there would be a real correction of 30% in house prices. Now, it is an index that's bubble risk. It's very hard to know if you are actually in a bubble, very hard to know when the bubble will burst, and it's very hard to predict those factors. Therefore, it's just an indicator, really, to track where we are versus history and also to track global cities against each other.
So, the index isn't about predicting a burst, but it reminds us that we need to be mindful of the possibility. So how much work and planning is about reacting to that event, should it happen? Patrick Ho is Deputy Head Equity APAC with CIO Wealth Management UBS.
Our index is not intended to do that, but on our analysis, on a bottom-up basis, we look at different factors, not only housing prices related to income, not only housing prices related to rents and the other three indicators that I mentioned, but we also look at the supply, we look at government policies, we look at other financial variables like the US dollar strength and the Hong Kong dollar strength against other currencies. We use those indicators and come up with the conclusion that we expect property price to come down from very high level. Actually, in our view, the property price in Hong Kong has peaked already in September, and we expect the property price in Hong Kong to come down by around 10% in 2016. So we think that this is the start of a multi-year down cycle for housing prices in Hong Kong, because it's expensive, because those variables has turned, a strong dollar is not helping, supply has increased, and interest rate in the US should start to go up very soon, and Hong Kong interest rates will follow suit. So these are all the negative factors on the Hong Kong housing market.
Next, we turn to a more fundamental question. Have real estate prices uncoupled from the real economy? Here's the view of Bob Swarup, financial commentator and investor and author of Money Mania.
Yeah, the whole problem with over-financialization as well. I mean, you know, I think you have a situation where, you know, I remember years ago I looked at sort of land prices in Kensington and Chelsea going back about the best part of 320 years. And if you look at Ken and Chelsea going back all that time, the growth of prices there is in real terms about 2% to 3% above inflation, right? So, you know, if you overlay that onto where you are, say, in Ken and Chelsea today, what you will see is there's been enormous decoupling between what historically has been a three-century pattern versus where you have today. And I think, you know, it's a supply-demand balance, right? That right now you have a lot of people running into London, not necessarily living here. I mean, we have all seen the ghost neighborhoods, and I live in one myself. But, you know, because they're just looking for somewhere to park their money. If, however, they start to move that money back out and go elsewhere, then I think, you know, that bubble starts to unwind pretty fast.
What is the challenge or risk or opportunity of this phenomenon of uncoupling? Well, take Hong Kong as an example, says Matthias Holzhey.
Let's look at Hong Kong, where to buy a 60 square meter apartment exceeds the budget of double earners in Hong Kong in the skilled service sector. So prices are completely dependent on foreign demand. Probably they are dependent on the macroeconomic, on worldwide macroeconomic conditions, which makes them much more volatile and much less predictable. So that's why we believe that markets where prices really have decoupled from the local economy should be treated carefully.
So have real estate prices uncoupled from the real economy? Is that a factor here? Patrick Ho again.
Yeah, I think this is partly the reason for UBS Real Estate Bubble Index indicating that Hong Kong has bubble risk. Another factor is interest rate. Interest rate has come down. In Hong Kong, we have a peg exchange rate, so we follow the U.S. interest rate, and U.S. interest rate now is zero. So that also pushed up the property price in Hong Kong.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look in more detail at the most overvalued markets as identified in the index, and we'll compare the background and drivers there with those in undervalued locations. So let's set our sights on the most overvalued markets now. Patrick Ho sits in Hong Kong. What's driving the suggestion of a bubble there?
In Hong Kong, we find that the property market is expensive because the housing price here is high relative to the household income. And then also the housing price is high relative to the rent. So these two indicators are really outstanding for Hong Kong compared to the 15 cities that we have done in our survey. And on top of that, you know, Hong Kong housing prices has increased since the financial crisis in 2008, and the extent of the increase outpaced of inflation significantly.
And looking next at London, with a resident of the city, what does Bob Swarup make of the city's situation? He is interested in what is driving the situation in the UK capital.
Well, I think London undeniably is a bubble and has been for a long time. But I think you also have to understand what's driving this bubble. You know, this isn't a bubble driven by speculation, although I think there are some speculative elements to it. What this has been is a bubble driven actually by the fact that London has emerged, or London property has emerged, as the new barbarous relic, you know, of this century. So in other words, when you've had all of these people yanking capital out of China or, you know, Club Med or Russia and places like that, and they want to park it somewhere where they think it can retain some kind of value. Well, London's the obvious place. I mean, London has always, you know, been seen as a great place to live. It actually has a market that is quite diverse. And also, you know, anybody coming here benefits from things like what had been up to now a very favorable tax regime in the non-domicile sense. And to be honest, the extremely lax checks on who's buying property. I mean, you know, London arguably, and ironically for all of the posturing by governments, is probably one of the biggest centers of money laundering in the world because of the lack of transparency around who buys London property.
Caroline Simmons, too, provides a London view.
A number of factors have stoked demand for prime central London housing, including a search for safe havens, global geopolitical risk, high property valuations in other areas, and the relatively attractive potential of London and the UK, as well as ongoing population growth. As a result, valuations in London have risen quite quickly, and therefore the affordability has become somewhat stretched, meaning that it is more likely that if we see a change in the underlying economic or fundamental conditions, it is more likely that you would therefore get a decent correction in the London market.
The differences between London and those fair-valued cities as identified in the report are really interesting. Why are there differences internationally? What about New York, for instance? Well, it is a good case study to understand the workings of the index, explains Matthias Holzei.
We always calculate the index based only on the past of the respective city. For example, in simple words, New York has been far worse. Okay, the market bottomed 2012 after a five-year correction, and prices are still very far below the US average currently. So this index tells you that the market is currently fairly valued, but the important message is that historical fair valuation does not necessarily imply affordable housing. That's something people mess up usually.
What are some of the key lessons and takeaways of the UBS Real Estate Bubble Index? And why is looking at this theme so valuable for investors? Looking at the different cycles in different markets, explains Caroline Simmons, reminds you of the importance of retaining a diversified position.
It gives you, you know, a bit of an overview, and there have been some quite different trends in some countries, you know, even between major cities. And what it does show you is the sort of major global cities associated, you know, with real estate, such as London, Hong Kong, for example, the valuations have increased more, hence why people have associated them with real estate. And that it is, you know, as always, important to have a diversified approach to one's investments and, you know, personal assets. And diversification is a view that UBS is always promoting.
And how should investors' decision-making change in the event that they identify the possible existence of a bubble in a specific market? Patrick Ho explains.
For our index, we actually indicate where the housing price has deviated from the fundamental. And in our index, we have five categories. We have bubble risk, overvalued, fairly valued, undervalued, and depressed. And Hong Kong now is at the bubble risk stage. And this indicate that the housing price here in Hong Kong is really, really expensive. Having said that, you know, our index does not intend to identify the timing of the burst of the bubble. In fact, it's very difficult to do, and this is not what we are trying to do with our bubble index. What we're trying to do is to identify the housing prices in Hong Kong, whether it's deviated from the fundamental. So for investors, you know, they should take note, and if they're going to invest into the direct real estate market, they should pay attention, and, you know, Hong Kong real estate prices should have the risk to come down in the next 5 years.
With all the different pressures and variables in play, and many apparently cyclical processes, is this area becoming more predictable or more volatile than ever? Matthias Holzei sums up the picture.
If you look at the past, it has been rather predictable. Okay, in the early 80s, we had a price increase of 30%, price decline of 30 to 40%. Then in the 90s, we had a price increase of, I don't know, let's say close to 80%, and then a decline of 40%. And then it took even longer, as I already said, 130% up and only 30% down. So we are on a very high, we are stuck on a very high level. And predictability is very low at the moment because it depends a lot on central bank's policy decisions, as we believe. And well, we will probably have to live with a period of an increased risk of sudden downturns. Cities are, in that respect, probably less risky for the overall economy, as we typically see no overbuilding in cities. We typically also see less credit growth in cities. However, for investors, that's probably not very comforting if we have a strong price decline.
And that's Matthias Holzei, bringing us to the end of this 59th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.